Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We're in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me this evening my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, on the line tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God, and my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line tonight?
Yes, sir, we're here.
Praise God. We thank God for allowing us to get together another Thursday. I know it's always a long week, and we have many challenges, but we thank God that we're back together again. And so we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sheila G, we're glad to be able to get into the Word again. On last Thursday, we were in the Word, and we were asked the question, do we know now why we had to go through? And people had powerful testimonies of why they had to go through, and they recognized that God had to go through for a reason. And we are in the midst of, I called one of the great awakenings in the United States of America, where people are getting awoke to the systemic racism that's been running rampant in our country for over 400 years.
Yeah.
And it is a time in history where no one ever could dreamed of, where you would have a global pandemic with COVID-19, that you would have over 40 million people unemployed, that you would have people in the streets for over 20 days, and that you would have Congress, the Senate, and the executive branch, White House, coming up with legislation and executive orders that would go into effect that would help to control policing or police brutality and racism in our country. I don't think anyone would have said that majority of the world would be at stay-at-home orders and limited means of worship, limited means of going to school, limited means of seeing sports, limited means of going to the stores with facial coverings. And it's a time in our life that I say is on our watch that we would never have thought, Dr. G, that this would be on our watch. But it's on our watch. And we have to ask the question like we asked last Thursday, what do we understand now why we had to go through? And what has prepared us for this moment as all of the trials and tribulations that people have gone through and as people of color have gone through for years, and even indigenous people, Indians, have gone through for years to get to a point like this to be able to say it's time for a change. Sheila G.
Amen. That's very true. And one of the things that I talked to my children about, and they were saying how when number 45 was first elected, I had reiterated to them that it was going to have to be their generation, that they had gotten comfortable, that they had gotten entitled, that they weren't getting out to vote, that they were just kind of everybody for themselves and got this sense of entitlement. And I had told them that, nope, if there's going to be a movement, if there's going to be a change, God always uses the young folk to do this. And when all of this started happening, where God showed all his power and just shut the whole world down so that we could open our eyes and see that we're not as entitled as we think, because he can take that quote-unquote freedom away that we all thought had, that our younger generation really assumed because they weren't really there in the 60s and 70s, and we were trying to pass that knowledge on to them, but they had, you know how we always say we want our children's life to be better off than we were. Well, they had gotten too better off and too comfortable. Now their eyes are open, and now they're you know, God shut took those things away from them. Now they're able to hear. Now they're able to understand. Now they're talking about making sure they vote, making sure the change is coming, and they are taking that torch. And that's nobody but the Lord. But God would not have been able to do that had he not shut everything down. And sometimes we have to hit rock bottom. God allows things to happen to wake us up.
Dr. G, you want to comment on it?
I do, because Sheila and I were just talking about that just before we got on the line. You know, the Lord had to do all that he's doing, as Sheila said, to wake people up, you know, everybody, whether they were religious, secular, it didn't matter. You know, everybody had gotten so comfortable, as she said, with the young people. They had to be shown that it's going to take some things. Even with old number 45 in the White House, boyfriend had gotten so comfortable because he kept saying he was a chosen one. Now his stuff is beginning to look kind of bad. Everything. God had to use it all to show people that they are not large and in charge, and that he is still the one that controls everything. And, I mean, people are still trying to fight against it, but yet it's a wake-up call for everybody, for the whole world.
Amen.
Amen. And, you know, as we were studying this 10th chapter book of Acts, the Jews and they were the seed of Abraham, but they didn't know the God of Abraham, and so God turned to the Gentiles let them know who he was, and that he let them know that he wasn't a respecter of person. And anytime people get a picture of themselves as different than what God says about you, then we're out of line with God. And you know, this is what God has gotten the whole world's attention, that you know, we need to get back in line with him. And Peter, being worked with in this 10th chapter of the book of Acts, where his upbringing as a Jew told him that there were certain things he did, certain things he associated with, certain things that he ate, and it basically caused the Jews to have this ungodly attitude toward other races, that they were better than them, and God had to reel them in and to let them know that, you know, anything that God has created is good, and not to see that the Jewish race was better than the Gentile race. And it's just so funny how relevant the word of God is, because this world has gotten to a point where everyone thinks they're better than someone. I mean,
yep.
even you know, you have the rich and the poor, you have the educated and uneducated, you have, you know, the light skin against the dark skin, the ones with the long hair against the ones with the short hair, the overweight against the underweight, and
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a thing where God wants people to have love one for another.
Right.
And he told his disciples that men would know that we are his disciples if we have love one for another.
Mm-hmm.
And so he oftentimes, like you said, Sheila G.W., he let folk go,
uh-huh.
and then he gets them to a point where he said, now I need to show you that your stuff does stink.
Right.
Did you acting, now you're acting like your stuff don't stink, and
mm-hmm.
he needs to reel it back in. And to let us know. And God uses people like Cornelius in this chapter 10, people that are focused on God, that they don't get swayed one way or the other, but they fear, they're God-fearing, and they want to be used by God, and they want to do godly things. And this is, Sheila G., like you're saying, with the young people and those seasoned people as well. Is people are sick and tired of the ways of the world, you know. And I hear that so many times in person with people in church and church members and on the news, that people are sick and tired of being sick and tired of ungodly things happening in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're doing is they're turning to God and saying, look, you know, this is not right. You know,
right.
You can get away with doing this stupid stuff from the White House to the outhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care if it's done in the White House or the outhouse. It's wrong, and people are recognizing black, white, like Dr. G was saying, Jew, Gentile, whoever, and people are recognizing this is just not right. You know, this is not godly. This is not how we should behave or how we should be treating each other.
Mm-hmm.
And God is revealing it, and God is pricking people at their hearts and saying, you know, you've been a part of this problem. You've been a part of this problem. And you know, people are asking, how can I be a part of the solution?
Right.
And so God is showing them, and God is pulling people out of their comfort zone. And
mm-hmm.
and when he pulls people out of their comfort zone, it's something where you just have to be real. And
mm-hmm.
and you have to talk in a real manner to say, hey, am I really lining up with God? Am I doing the things that, you know, I claim to be, you know, a good person or a person of understanding, a person of love? And people are turning in and reflecting and saying, you know, hey, you know, I have room for improvement, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make this improvement. Sheila G.
Amen. And God, everything that he does, everything he allows to happen, he really takes it to the extreme so that you know it's nobody but God. I mean, to shut down the whole world, to have a pandemic, to have an economy that one month that was on top of the world to suddenly come crashing down, to have this race, the systemic racism where there's issue after issue to be so exposed that you can't absolutely deny it, to have one thing after another, you have to recognize that this is that invisible warfare. It is like serious spiritual warfare, because there's a type of thing that nothing man can do. And it's like the Lord has said, okay, man, you think you're all this. He's like, you can't let me subtly adjust your moral compass. Remember, we'd even talked about it in a few Bible studies ago about how it seemed like, and this is before the pandemic came, that we've lost our moral compass, that we've lost our first love. And God was like slowly but surely exposing things, but we as a people kept pushing the edge, accepting things instead of standing up. You know, it says we're supposed to preach in season and out of season. We were just becoming complacent, accepting this. And God's like, enough. And he's like, I'm trying to show you subtly that this is how I want you to be. All of a sudden, it went from, you knew, if you didn't go to church any other time, you go Christmas and you go Easter. Well, slowly but surely, people weren't even going to Christmas. People weren't even going to Easter. Everybody's out here doing their own thing. So God had to show his power, how omnipresent, how omnipotent, and say, okay, I'm going to shut you down, and I'm going to show you humanness through this spiritual warfare so that you will look to the whole armor of God, which is the Spirit of God, and that's the only way you're going to get out of this. So as a result, you started to see, like you said, the love rising up and the compassion for people that normally would not be compassionate for people, and the hate being exposed.
Amen, and that's what the Holy Spirit will do. It will expose the injustice and the ungodliness. And so God has a way of utilizing events in people's lives,
right,
to the place where they can be changers, life changers,
right.
And you know, sometimes it's like I said, it's out of your comfort zone, and,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, nah, I don't want to do it, but God has a way of getting your attention where you can't get away, you can't get around it, you cannot get to a place where you can't say, no, that's not God, I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get it for it. It's like being called into ministry and called to evangelism. You get in a place where you can't not do it. And so as we see, let's go back to Acts 10. And when God spoke to Cornelius, let's go to verse 4. And Cornelius is responding to God, to the angel that God revealed to him what to do. And so we go to Acts 10, verse 4. It says, Cornelius stared at him in fear, and he said, what is it, Lord? And he asked, and I'm reading from the NIV, and we talked about that fear of the Lord, or respect of the Lord, or righteous fear of the Lord. And when you have that righteous fear of the Lord, that means that you are in a place in your life where what you want to do is you don't want to do what your will is, but you want to do what the Lord's will is. And it takes some time to get to that point, because we're all born in sin and we're all shaping in iniquity, which means that we come into this world selfish. In other words, me, myself, and I. And when we come into the world with me, myself, and I, what happens is we're in the Lord's chair.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we want to save you, but we still want to be in the Lord's chair.
Right.
And in order for us to be able to be used by God, we have to have a reverential or fear, healthy, godly fear of God, to say, God, I know you know everything. You're omnipotent. And you mean you're all powerful, you're omniscient, you're all knowing, and you're omnipresent. And so it would be foolish for me to stay in the Lord's chair, because if left up to me, I'm going to make some wrong decisions. And so what I have to do is I have to trust you with my life.
Right.
And I have to step down out of the Lord's chair and let you be Lord and Savior. See, everybody wants to save you. Nobody wants to get in trouble.
Yeah,
But you have to get out of the Lord's chair, let him be Lord and Savior. And so when people get out of the way and they get out of the Lord's chair, let the Lord have his rightful place in our lives, then what happens is you begin to start realizing through your life experience that the Lord knows what's best for me. And even though sometimes it might be rough, Sometimes it might be uncomfortable. I'm still trusting the Lord to guide my life. And so here Cornelius is saying, you know, what is it, Lord? In other words, he's not getting into his thing, but he's asking God, what is it? Tell me what's going on. Let me know how to use it. And you find yourself, Dr. G, in this position where difficult times come in your life and you're like, Lord, this doesn't make sense. What would you have me to do? How should I handle this? The same thing happened to Paul, when he was Saul, when he got knocked off his high horse, and he said, you know, Lord, what would you have me to do? In other words, he got out of the Lord's chair and allowed the Lord to be in his life in fear. And what is it, Dr. G, that when you get to a point where you're saying, God, you know, show me what's going on. And so I can't trust my own eyes. I have to walk by faith and not by sight. I can't trust how I feel because I get emotional, and I know my emotional is unstable. And so, God, you tell me what it is. And when you get to that point where you're not looking to yourself or leaning to your own understanding, but you're asking God, what is it? That means that you're trusting God that even in the most difficult situation that his ways are not your ways and your ways are not his ways, that you're saying, God, I need you to give me the direction. God, I need you to act as Lord. And Dr. G, how do we get to that place where we're saying, even though it looks this way, even though I feel this way, I got to turn to the Lord? Dr. G.
Well, you know, we have to get to a point, and it's a growing process in Christ, because you can't just accept him today and think we're ready to get to that point tomorrow. You're going to go through some things. The Lord has got to convince you that he knows best. You've got to be put into some situations where you think you know, but in actuality you don't. And then you've got to draw close to him. You and the Lord have got to be so close. You know, we talk about that personal relationship with him. Mm. You've got to the point where, you know, it's not about me, Lord. It's all about you. And for most folk, that they're not there yet. That's why, you know, when you look at the world now, the Lord is allowing all of this stuff to take place to bring us down off those high horses, to get us off our stools of do nothing, to get us to a point that we will begin to humble ourselves, and then we can be used by God. But until we get to a point where then we make up in our minds that, you know what, Lord, look, I done did it my way long enough. I'm ready now to listen to you. And he has to get us to that point. And what I love about the Lord will give us enough rope to hang ourselves. Mm-hmm. As you said, when we get tired of being sick and tired, then we're ready to be used by the Lord. Then we can listen to him and say, all right, Lord, I'm ready now. What is it that you want me to do?
Amen. Amen. And he'll get your attention. And you know, this is where Cornelius was, and he gets talked to in the second part of chapter 10, verse 4. It says the angel answered, and again, I'm reading NIV. So your prayers are gifts to the poor. Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. And we talked a little bit about that on last week. That God is watching us. God knows your heart. God knows what you're going through. God knows where you are, and he based upon where you are, based upon where your heart is. You know, Dr. G was talking about that last week. Is that, you know, we need to be careful when we say the Lord knows the heart, because I believe it was Jeremiah said the heart is wicked above all other things. So we need to make sure that we our heart is in the right place with God. And when it is, and God recognized that, you know, he was given to the poor, he was relationship with prayer life, and doing the things that were demonstrating that he had a relationship with God. And so God sees these things. We talked about how God saw Job and how, you know, he recommended to Satan that he would test Job, and God knew his heart, and that Job will remain faithful even in the midst of the hardship that he was going through. And, you know, I say that to say that, you know, people of color, we've gone through some hardships, we've gone through some rough stuff, and, you know, in the midst of that, people can still be loving, people can still be kind, people can still trust God, people can still forgive people. You know, that was one of the things that Jesus did on the cross. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Even after being brutalized, after being lied on, spit on, physically tormented, but God bragged on Jesus. He said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." You know, he talked about Job, and he said, "Consider my servant Job." And Job stood the test. Jesus stood the test. And so people of color who've been beat down and misused and abused, some kind of way, they don't get beaten to the place where they hate.
Right.
And through that, they show the love of God. It's a weird thing that even though I've been misused and abused, marginalized, that I don't hate, and that would make me ungodly. But through my mistreatment, through my tears, I still stand and say I'm trusting God, that God's love will demonstrate that love is the right way. Sheila G, can you help me out with that? I don't know if I'm articulating that well enough.
Yeah, that's where the basis of our ancestry was on the Bible, was on our strength in the Lord, was on those stories that were passed down to us. That's why back in the slavery days, when our ancestors couldn't read, they didn't like for us to gather in the church because they recognized the power of the Lord. And that was the power of that black church was what teaching about God, teaching about God's love, passing it on down to the children so that you know that no matter what situation you were in, you were still able to pray to the Lord and recognize that what man may evil mean for evil, God will turn it into good. And when you take that to heart, you can endure more things than you think you can endure. That's why there's things in the Bible that says weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And when we're taught those things and we teach those things to our children, we have more faith in God than we do in man. So man can only do so much to us. You may be able to touch my body, but you can't touch my soul. You can't touch my spirit, because I know to be absent from this body, I'm going to be with God. I know about eternal life, so I know that I'm going to be okay. And when we're reading the scripture about Cornelius, he was doing God's work for God's sake. It wasn't like he was doing it to impress man, because you know there's a lot of preachers, there's a lot of people that claim Lord, 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 but they're impressing man. So if you're trying to impress man, when man comes unto you, that's when you're injured. But when you're doing godly things for godly sake, God recognizes that, as the angel is saying to Cornelius, that, okay, all these things you're praying, you're giving a gift, and you're doing it from your heart, we recognize that. That's being memorialized. Mm-hmm. And because God recognized that, a lot of times the Lord knows our strength more than we know our strength. You know, we may be uncomfortable. We were just talking about this in our past Sunday school lesson with Gideon, that when he called him a man of valor, he's like, "What? No, I'm not a man of valor." But God knows us, and that's why we have to be open to him using us, because he knows our spirit. He knows what's in us. And he knows that we are not limited, more so than we do. We know, we understand that, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But when it comes down to brass, it's kind of like, Lord, you sure? You want me to do this? I don't know if I'm equipped to do this. But God is like, I got you. And he will give you that sign and give you that confidence, not the confidence in man, but the confidence in God. And that's what's happening through this scripture with Cornelius, because God wants to send him to Peter, but he has to reassure him that I got you. I got this. I'm not going to send you in your own right, but I know your heart because I know what you do. And they always say that your character is displayed in what you do when people aren't looking versus
what you do
when are looking, and so he's reiterating to him, building that confidence that because you've done this, you are walking in a godly manner. So I'm going to equip you to do what I need you to do for my name's sake.
Amen, amen. And God prepares the way.
Yeah.
And the thing is that God knows the way, and He prepares the way. And
right.
What I mean by that is God knows the challenges that will come along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so because He knows the challenges that comes along the way, His will is going to be done. And so what He does is He prepares people and things along the way that His will can be done. But
right.
He uses ordinary people to do
right.
extraordinary things.
Mm-hmm.
And as He's using ordinary people to do extraordinary things, He's preparing people's hearts. He's speaking to people. He's putting people in place
right.
that when it comes down to it, people know that it is God. This thing
right.
is of God. So we look at verse 5. He gives him the angel gives him a clear command. He says, now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house by the sea. So they gave him specific instructions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these instructions were laid out, and you know, Dr. G, this is what I say about the Word of God. The Word of God gives us specific instructions, and if we could just stick to the instructions of God, we would get the will accomplished for us, or that God has set out for us along the way. And so as we all go along our way, if we would simply follow out the instructions that God has given us in His Word, we get there sooner and in a lot better shape than if we don't follow the Word, if we don't follow the instructions. I mean, He gave them clear instructions. Now send men to Joppa, bring back a name. Send men to Joppa, one, bring back a man named Simon. This is what his name is. This is where he's staying, and this is where it's located. And if we look at the Word of God, God gives us simple instructions. He's not difficult. He'll teach us in parables. He'll tell us about the greatest commandments are these two, you know, that love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and love your neighbor, you know, the same way. And he gives us these instructions. And if we could, Dr. G, if we could just take the Word and take it for what it was and follow it, I think we'll be in a lot better place to be able to get there and enjoy. I think you said that a couple of weeks ago. Enjoy, you know, your relationship with God and going along that path, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. And the thing is, you know, because the instructions are laid out, God is never going to send us someplace without putting it all out there for us. But with many of us, because number one, we really don't want to go, then we find excuses as to why we shouldn't go. And so we're, you know, the focus is not doing what the Lord wants. Our focus is back on us, what we don't want to do. If we could take the instructions of the Lord, our world would be so much better. But people are just fickle that, you know, they think they have to add a little bit or take a little. You know, the Lord didn't mean that. You know, I've heard that so often growing up. Well, the Lord didn't mean that. You know, we misquote the Word. Bottom line is people don't study the Word enough to understand, and they won't allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to them exactly what it is that God wants. But if they take self out the way, listen to the Lord, we could really be doing a great job.
Amen.
Amen, amen. And you know, you grow up with people and you experience people, and some people will demonstrate to you that they can listen and hear instructions and follow instructions. And those people are demonstrating their ability to be able to do what they heard or hear and follow instructions. Then you got some people that they just, you can tell them 100 times. and they're going to do it their way, and it's just, you might as well, I think Proverbs said it's like putting lipstick on a pig. It's like you're wasting your time with the word. It's like you can't do it. It's like they're not going to do it. And so, you know, God turns to people that he knows that he's going to follow, he's going to carry it out. And that's not to say that people are going to get there eventually, but God knows who to send and when to send, and he knows how to prepare the way, and he knows how to prepare the people along the way. And that's just the way God is. He, when he had John the Baptist was eclectic. He, you know, he had camel's hair, he ate locusts and honey, but he prepared the way for the Lord. And he said, I'm not greater than the one that I'm preparing the way for. And so it's a thing of, you know, we got to know that it's God's way,
right?
And that God's going to prepare the way, and we need to follow his instructions so that we can get to there, so that God's purpose and plan can be carried out in our lives. And so when we look to verse 7, Acts verse 7 says, when the angel who spoke to him had gone, this is what Cornelius did. He didn't say, nah, that was just a bad dream. I had some bad, you know, Chinese food. I'm going to go back to sleep. He said, no. He said, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened. And what did he do? And he sent them to Joppa. Sheila, gee, this is just so simple. It's like, you know, you worked in corporate America,
yes.
and you've told people, look, this is what we need to do so this can happen, or this is what we need to stop doing so this can happen.
Yep.
And a lot of times you tell people, you know, X, Y, and Z, and they want to go A, B, Q, W, you know, and it gets messed up. But it just seems like if you just tell them, look, all I want you to do is look both ways before you cross the street.
Right.
Or I want you to go down to the corner and use the crosswalk. Because eventually, if you keep doing it this way, you're going to get hit and something bad is going to turn out. Sheila G.
Amen. There's two things along those lines. One, you had previously said God prepares a way. And he shows us the way. So he prepares it in advance, prepares us in advance, lets us know exactly what it is he wants us to do. But then we have to get out of the way.
Amen.
That's the last that messes up. God prepares us the way. He shows us the way. But then we get in the way. We have to get out of the way and follow those directions. But when we get in the way, and what I mean by we get in the way is we start thinking too much. We start thinking about how we think is it. We start analyzing whether it makes sense or not. We start saying, well, it doesn't look that glorious. And maybe if I add a little bit to it, then it'll make it even better. We want to make the situation even better. But it may be the Lord just wants you to go down the corner and say hi to somebody. It may be that God just wants you to sit next to a person to give them an opportunity to share with you what's going on. God does not always have to use us in such a glorious way. But sometimes we want to be pushy because we're running ahead of God. And God is like, no. I want you to do it this way and leave it alone. You know, a lot of times we talk about in the Word where God just wants us to plant the seed. He'll water it and take care of it, but we want to try to save the person. We can't save anybody. All we can do is tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord and keep it moving. But we don't get out of the way and allow God to do what he needs to do. And when we follow it his way, he will, in his own time, expose things. And I think about what's going on now is that we had to be patient. The racism has been there. We didn't understand why, after we had a black president, we end up with the most racist president we ever could possibly have even before that. But we still had that hidden racism going on all along, as both of you I know, from being in corporate, for what we had to do, things like that. But now we're looking at it, and God is exposing it. He's putting a fire under people to trust in him, taking that next generation to say, oh, you know, no, we're all inclusive. We're not trying to go back there. But we never would have thought 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, we would be here. It was so devastating to see. But we had to get out the way and let God do it his way. I mean, we just look at these Supreme Court things that passed today, like with DACA and you know, things where we were like, this is so horrible, this is so terrible. But God's like, I got this. Trust in me. I got this. You stay focused on me. You continue to preach love. You continue to teach love. You continue to love your neighbor just like Christ. And as these bad things are happening, instead of you being part of the problem, by you following me, you could be part of the solution. But we have to get out of the way in order for us to follow God's way.
Amen. Amen. Well said. It's his plan, and like we were talking about earlier, we just have to get out of the Lord's chair, let him be in the chair, let him run things.
He's a pivot, and he's telling us we always want to help him out.
and you know, that's the word, and it's not complicated. I mean, just look at that verse 7. He said he spoke to him, he had gone. He called two of his servants. Hey, let's go. You know, got the soldier. All right, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And told him what happened. He said, this is the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And sent him to Joppa.
Yep, boom.
So on the other end of the path or the plan, now he's working with Peter.
Mm-hmm.
So the ultimate thing is that God wants Peter to come and preach the gospel to the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
So he's using the Gentiles to go get God's man to bring back to preach the gospel.
Right.
And so if we look at verse 9, it says, about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. So he had a Gentile praying in Cornelius, and he had a Jew praying in Peter. And too often, folk don't pray.
Right.
I'm just being real. Too often, folks don't be in prayer. When you pray, you're humbling yourself and saying, God, I'm praying to you because
right.
I know you have the answers. And you know, that was the thing with Job. Job prayed every morning, prayed for his family, prayed every day. You know, Jesus, you know, taught us how to pray. And you know, there's something about prayer. When somebody you know can get a prayer through, Lord have mercy, and you know they're praying for you, you know you stand a chance. And then a praying church, a praying father, mother, praying children, what that does is that puts you in tune with God's plan. And so with prayer, Cornelius was in tune. With prayer, Peter was in tune. And this is the common denominator of the will of God, is when people are praying and on one accord. And that was the one of the things that when on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, when the disciples were in one place on one accord, is that they were in that one accord, and the Holy Spirit blessed the church, and the church was born, and people heard the gospel in their own language because people are on one accord. And so when you're praying to God, you're getting on one accord, and when you're on one accord, that's when God can move in the church. That's where God can move in your life. That's where God's plan can move forward when we're on one accord. And praying, what it does is when Jesus taught it, he said, you know, that thy will be done, thy kingdom come. And when Jesus was going to Calvary's cross, he says, you know, that you know, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And so through prayer, Dr. G, that puts us on one accord that we are seeking God's face. And so here Cornelius is seeking in prayer God, and here Peter is seeking God, and that put them on one accord so that God's plan could be carried out in their lives. Dr. G, help me on that, please.
Well, you know, and that's the key right there. You know, we've got to pray. We've got to be in touch. We got to be in communication with the Lord. And when you look at this story, you've got all these folks doing what they're supposed to do, and then they go and pray. I mean, it's a thing that when you go and pray, you want to make sure with the Lord, number one, that I'm doing what you want me to do. Then, Lord, it's not about me, but it's still all about you. Lead, guide, and direct my path. And when you're praying, as you said, you know, we're all in this thing together. We're all on one accord. So that the Lord's wishes might be manifest, then you see the blessing begin to come when you do his way.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sheila G, you want to hit that?
Well, that goes along with what I was saying before. In order to do it his way, we have to get out of the way. And in order to know what it is he wants us to do, we have to communicate with him. Mm-hmm. And in order to communicate with him, we have to pray. And prayer is two way. One, we talk to God, but we also have to listen.
Amen. 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 That is so powerful. And I think sometimes we need to pray more than we run our mouths.
Yep.
The book of James talking about that little pink number.
Yeah.
And sometimes we just need to pray. I mean, it's gonna be an outward utterance of prayer, but sometimes you just need to keep your mouth closed and just pray to God and talk to God. Because believe me, the spirit is on board. The spirit is there. And
right.
You stay and you subject that flesh to the spirit, and you pray that spirit will eventually get to your understanding and get to your place of where you can hear from God and know what God wants you to do. But it's important that we spend time in the Word so we know what the instructions are, and that we spend time in prayer so we can carry out the instructions. Like Sheila G, you so eloquently described. And so the Word and prayer in this story with Peter and with Cornelius are prominent in getting God's will done. And you know, Jesus, he was the Word, but he knew the Word of God, and Jesus prayed. And because he knew the Word and he prayed, he was able to carry out God's plan of redemption of mankind from the wages of sin. And I think this is very important in our Bible study, that not only do we need to know the Word, but we need to know the God who gave us the Word, and we can get to know him through prayer. And those are just the fundamentals of a Christian life is knowing the Word and knowing how to pray to God, asking God to help us in prayer to carry out his Word. And, you know, it's plain in many places where it's taught in the Bible. It's plain in our lives. You know, one of the things that Paul said later on in his ministry, he said that I can do all things through Christ that gives me the strength. And he realized that his relationship with God by knowing his Word and knowing how to pray to God, that God will give him the strength to be able to do those things. I think if we could get those two bedrocks, fundamentals in the church, is that people would pray, people would know the Word of God, they would study, know the Word of God, and they will pray. So Bible study, prayer, service, if we can get those two fundamentals, get people rooted and grounded in those things, I think we would have a greater chance of enjoying our life, our relationship with each other, enjoying our relationship with God, and to be able to be found like Cornelius, where the things that we're doing are pleasing in the sight of God. Sheila G.
Amen. That is the ultimate, is to do what we need to do. One, to develop that relationship with God, but also once you develop that relationship, you automatically know what's pleasing in the sight of God, and we're able to obey whatever His will is and not lean so much to our own will.
Amen. So we want to we're going to go to the phone lines tonight and just ask the question, how important is knowing the Word and your prayer life, you know, your study life and your prayer life? How important is your study life and your prayer life? It's a question that we have to take serious. You know, some things we put first and some things we put second. But I believe if we know God's Word and we pray to the God of the Word, then our lives will be beneficial, but we have to make them priority. So the question is, how important is your prayer life and your study life, or your study life, study of the Word life, and your prayer life? So we're going to go to the first caller. Last four digits is 6309. 6309, you on there?
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. How important is my study life and my prayer life? Well,
amen.
My study life has helped me to grow tremendously. I don't understand all the scriptures, but I once told somebody I didn't understand the scriptures, and they told me, go back and keep reading them, and it'll be revealed to you. So that's what I did, and that was a good choice. But my study life is very important to me because it helps me grow. It helps me understand things. It helps me know what went on. It helps me know who God is and what He can do. And it just helps me. It's been helping me really, really well. And my prayer life is just extremely important to me because I consider myself to have a personal relationship with God. And my prayer life really brings the things out. I pray. I know what I'm praying. I don't pray and ask for things. I just pray for help and stuff like that. I don't ask things. If I ask the Lord for something, it's to help somebody that's going through something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But prayer life is something that you can go to. It keeps you together. It keeps you strong. It keeps you grounded. At least that's what it does for me. And I'm just thankful that that I decided to follow Jesus, you see. See, I get all of this because I decided to follow Jesus and I made up my mind. Once you make up your mind, you can get through anything. Your study life will help you and your prayer life will help you. Thank
Amen.
You for listening.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits. 5904, 5904, you're on
A. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
As far as my study life, I noticed that, you know, like Sheila was saying about how God has shut down everything and, you know, and He has given us an opportunity to get closer to Him. And,
Amen.
I'm beginning to make sure that I get on the Thursday night study line. I will tell my kid and my daughter. And I've also invited my neighbor to join. So that has helped me a lot.
Amen.
I remember in Sunday school, you know, learning the different characters in the Bible and know the verses and different things. But as far as studying, I could do better, but these last few months, just looking forward to Thursday night it's been exciting. It's like sitting here waiting for the teacher to come up with a story that I can apply to my life, which helps me to understand a little bit better, because a lot of times we hear the word, but we don't understand it. But when it's broken down in everyday language and using samples that we can see, okay, now I understand what he meant when he said this or that, and it can be applied to me. It might not, but you might be able to help somebody through that. So, yes, it has helped.
Amen.
You know, still got a long ways to go. And
Amen.
For the prayer, as for the prayer life, pray every day, you know, no matter what it is.
Amen.
You know, there's so much going on. And even before all of this, I always ask God to watch over the family, friends, coworkers, people who like me, people who don't, you know, and bless them according to his will and not their will. Because, you know, like the previous person was saying, that sometimes people forget that when they pray, they ask for things that maybe at that time they don't need it, but they pray for it. But you should pray for things that God has for you, because God knows when the time is right to give you something. But if you just use the prayer just to say, okay, I want this or that, God doesn't hear you. So you have to be careful what you say and what you ask for.
Amen.
So I'm learning.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1510. 1510, you're on there.
Hello.
Good
evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I think they both equally important.
Amen.
Because without, like, a person can preach to you anything, but in order for you to be able to follow what they're talking about and get a better understanding of what the Bible's saying, you have to study it for yourself.
Amen.
It's just like the blind leading the blind, and you walking right behind them. So that's what I do. Like even when we have Sunday school, after Sunday school's over, I always go back and reread it so I can get a better understanding of what the verses, I mean, what each story is basically about to me.
Mm-hmm.
And friend, I would say you more so pray for guidance instead of what you want.
That's right.
Because if you pray for what you want, sometimes it is not what you actually want. It's what you want at the moment, but it's not something that you actually would need.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So I pray for guidance. Because, I mean, if you, I'll say, because sometimes certain prayers can be answered well, or certain things can be answered wrongly to me.
Mm-hmm.
I pray for God to open my eyes to see something more clear. Because, like, if, you know, us as children, we never want to listen to what our parents tell us to do. We always believe that we know everything. And then when we actually get the egg cracked on our face, we're sitting there like, oh, we should have listened to my mom. I should have listened to my dad when they were trying to tell me not to do these things. But sometimes we as kids have to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you pray for guidance, it'll guide you to where you need to go.
That's right.
That's all I have to say.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Let's go to our next caller. Last four digits, 3343 on there.
Yes, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Yes, good evening.
All I want to say, God is good. Prayer is everything. God listens to your prayer. And all I do is just get down on my knees and just go to my dark room and call God. And God just put it in my hand, and I'll take care of it. And prayer is always good, no matter what you do. How old you are, there's still prayer, is still good, and God is still good, and is still on the throne, and never stop working every day. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. The last four digits is 1712. 1712, you're on there.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I definitely agree with all the comments that were made prayer and studying are very equal, and they're very important. I definitely think that without studying, you don't know how to pray. Without studying, you don't know how to deal with adversity. You know, when someone's preaching to you or someone's talking to you about the Lord, you don't really have a grasp or full understanding of it. And, you know, throughout the years, as I begin to study more, one of the first things I realized was that my prayers begin to change. You know, before it would be like, I'd be like a little kid sitting with Santa, gimme, 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 Lord, I want, I want, I want. And then it started being, you know, Lord, just thank you. Lord, praying for my enemies. Lord, praying for everybody else, you know, but me. And then I started to realize that, you know, once I stopped making the prayers about myself, I started to kind of understand why certain things were happening in my life and certain things were going on in my life, because sometimes God answered my needs and not my wants. And then I realized when I got it, I'm like, well, this isn't what I want. And then I had to pray about it. And I realized God is teaching me a lesson. You know what I'm saying? And then I had to study more. But, you know, studying is never going to be something that's going to end, even though we know the Bible has a page one and the end page, you know, but there's always things that we can study. It's a lifelong commitment, and it's a lifelong lesson that we have to do, as well as prayer. You know, I think somebody touched on it, that prayer should be done daily. You know, I can definitely do better in that regard. I can also be a little more studious when it comes to studying the Bible, but you need both. You know, they definitely go hand in hand. And, you know, I kind of equate it to, you know, someone playing sports, a football player, mm-hmm. not studying the playbook. Mm-hmm. You don't study the playbook, guess what? When it's time to perform, i.e. when we're out here living in life, you're not going to know what to do, where to go. You're not going to have, okay, let's call the audible here because now we're seeing something coming up. So I think when you start to kind of put it in perspective, as I did, things start to slow down and you start to develop an understanding. And I also think that when you're talking about praying to God, you can equate that to having a sit down with the coach. Hey, tell me what's going on. Tell me how you can make me better. Tell me what is it I can do to help the team grow, as I do when I pray to God. What can I do to be better, you know, musician, to help New Birth? What can I do more, you know, financially to maybe help out? All these different things we can do, but you can't do those things or sometimes see what it is we're falling short on until you have a conversation with God, because God's going to keep it real with you. He may speak to you indirectly. He may throw some signs your way. But again, if you don't study, you're not going to recognize the signs. And most importantly, if you don't study, you're not going to know what those signs are. You're not going to know what to do with those signs. So that's why I think they're very important, and they definitely go hand in hand. But to me, you know, simply do those things, I think that's when, you know, we really start to develop a closer relationship, you know, with Christ. You know, for years I took prayer for granted. I would go to church, I would say all the right things and do the things, but I wouldn't say a prayer. I wouldn't even pray over my food. I sit here and not lie to you. I would order my food and go home and eat it and forget to pray. But again, I look back, mm-hmm. those were the foundational things that my parents had taught us when we were kids. You pray for your food. Mm-hmm. You study your Bible, you read, you go to Sunday school. But as I kind of got away from it and fell into, you know, the game of life, all of those things that were taught to me as a young kid, I strayed away from. And that's when I started encountering a problem. So I really had to get back to the basics, because we all know, if anybody's been in church or even in your whole life, we know what prayer is. We know what it's about. We know studying the Bible, but it's just we never did it, or we would only do it when we were going through something. Then we want to run back to God to bail us out. But, you know, I truly had to get committed. And I think Sister Gregory touched on it too, about the test of character. It's not what you do or say when you're standing in front of the church, mm-hmm. and singing good, mm-hmm. and preaching good or whatever. It's, okay, what are you doing in your downtime? Matter of fact, what are you doing in the midst of COVID-19 when a lot of us are just in our homes, you know, working or just sitting there with our thoughts? You could pick up the Bible, study, get close to God. You could be praying for every single thing, especially now. Mm-hmm. I think we need prayer more now than we've ever needed, you know, this world and in this country. But again, it's what you're doing when others aren't looking, when you're not trying to, quote unquote, put on a show or put on a facade, all the smoke and mirrors. So, you know, I've definitely had to get to that point. But again, I just thank God that He's allowed me, because I've had a lot of friends and family that I've grown up with over the years, and they're not here for one reason or the other. And I used to follow behind them, the blind leading the blind. I used to listen to the stuff they say. I used to get caught up in peer pressure and doing everything that I knew was wrong, but I just wanted to fit in instead of saying, you know what, if I'm a child of God, it's okay to let my light shine. Even if the light is shining by myself, I'm a child of God, and I shouldn't be ashamed of it, you know. But again, as I developed and studied the Word of God, those things became clear to me. Then all I had to do was apply it. Then at the end of my day, or if I'm going through certain things in life, I say a prayer. You know, I think sometimes as we get older, we just think, oh, well, you only need to pray right before you're about to go to sleep. Nah, I done been through some things where I had to pull over on the side of the road and pray. I done been through some things where
that's right.
Before I walk in a building or before I walk in somewhere, I got to be like, Lord, yeah. I need you. Right now, I don't know what's about to go on. I just had to get in my car before I even turned the thing on and started on my journey. I had to say a prayer to God. So, again, through mm-hmm. those experiences and through those ups and downs in life, you realize the focus of prayer. And prayer keeps us focused. It keeps us not only having a connection with God, but it sets us. It balances us. It's kind of like that balancing act. It's like, okay, now I'm good. I prayed. I feel better. I feel stronger. I feel wiser. I feel more sharp and feel more connected to God. But, you know, it definitely is a process. But, again, I listen to you all who are more seasoned in the Word than I am, and yet you guys still pray. You guys still go through things. You guys are still studying the Word. So that is just further confirmation to me that I have to do this for the rest of my life. And if I'm serious about it, mm-hmm. I won't have a problem doing it, because there's always a way to grow and to improve and to get better and stronger in the body of Christ. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Prayer is quite vital. It go hand in hand and studying in order to know God and develop that personal relationship. You have to know His Word. You have to know His promises and what God has promised you, and also know what to pray for. I pray all the time, and I ask God. It's nothing that I don't ask God for, because I feel like He provides everything I need, and He might not give it to me right when I ask. Some things I might not need it. I might think I need it, but then the Holy Spirit will let me know, will give me a peace about this thing. And so prayer is so crucial in our life. It's just like eating. The closer we get to God, it becomes a part of us. It's not, I guess what I'm just trying to say, we just do it because we love God. We do it because we are His children, and we know that He loves us, and He is our Father. And so, like our earthly Father is here, He took good care of us. God is our Heavenly Father, and He will take good mm-hmm. care of us. And there are so many scriptures that the Lord has allowed me to understand and to be blessed with, that when I pray, I understand more what the Word is saying to me and what God wants from my life. So, like many have said, when we pray, we for guidance. Jesus was our example. He prayed. And He prayed that He would do the will of the Father. And he had a relationship, communication with God. He was our example. So if Jesus done these things, and He was our example, and He told us that we should do it, I mean, these are just things that we should naturally do, to pray and to study. And so the only way our life is going to get better is to follow the example and do what we have been commanded to do.
Amen.
I guess I'm
Amen.
Not really. It's so much I want to say about this, because prayer is just
right.
so much a part of me, and I just thank God with that blessing, and I thank Him for the intercessory prayer. That's one of the things mm-hmm. that He has placed on my heart, to be an intercessor, and so. That's why I say I don't have a problem in asking God for things, and it's not so much for myself but for other people. And one of the things, and I just want to share, because sometimes we think we have to have all this form of pattern and everything for prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take all that. And so many times when I was working and riding the trains and the buses, even now in the walking, it was people that I was on the bus or the train, and I would look at them and begin to pray for them, begin to pray for their family, pray for their children, school kids. I mean, you know, just people I've never seen before. And it was just something that God had put in my spirit to do for people. And they didn't know, you know. Occasionally, sometimes they would look at me and smile, but for the most part, they didn't know that I was praying for them, praying for their family. And so not only we pray for ourselves, but we pray for others. So when we are close to the Lord, he shows us, like Evangelist Gregory shared one time, with her being on the train and how this young lady came down and sit beside her. And, you know, she had a chance to, you know, share. And so God placed us in places where he needs us to be. And so when we have a strong prayer life with him, when we are trying to study and do his will, then he's going to use us for his glory. And so the only way we can know what his purpose and will is through our life is through prayer and through the word. That's the only way we're going to know God. There's no other way. There's no other way. Prayer and studying his word, because God has spoken to us through his word, and he has left his Holy Spirit as our intercessory, and Jesus is our mediator. And so we have everything we need. We are fully equipped.
Amen.
Thank you all.
Amen. Amen. And thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 5310. 5310, you're on the air.
Good morning. Good morning. Listen to me. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Study life for me is learning more about God and what his word means to me and how I internalize it on a daily basis. And my prayer life is getting even closer every day in my life, drawing closer to God. That's what keeps me together. And like everyone says, it goes hand in hand. You can't do one without the other.
Amen.
But, you know, sometimes we do. But we need to know we need to study his word in order to enrich our prayer life and how we walk in this world. And I have learned that anytime I go into a meeting and I have already discerned that issues are going to come up, you know, some things you have no control over, but if you pray and ask the Lord to go before you get there, he can turn away the wrath that's coming your way. So if you didn't study that, then you wouldn't know that to send him before you go. And God is such a good God. He always, you know, he lets you know what's what, and he'll go there and he'll set it straight before you even get there. And that's a good God.
Amen.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. And go to the next caller. Last four digits, 7971. 7971, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
This is a good subject because we as Christians, we must know God's word. We must study his word. And studying his word, you know who he is and whose he is, why he is. Because my life would be nothing without God. I've been in church all of my life. And a lot of people say that they went to church, and it may be true for them. But as a kid, I remember so much about God's word. What bothers me right now is with my memory loss. While I'm away from the Bible, can't retain the scriptures. But with us talking about the Bible now, it all just, God gives it back to me.
Amen.
He gives it back to me, so I will know that I'm on the right track. But his love is in my heart. His word is in my heart. And I pray constantly. God's word said, pray without ceasing.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I know who to go to.
Amen.
I know who is my Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be his name. That's when you get my age and you've been with him all of your life. All of your life. Nothing can take that place. You're able to share it. You're able to express yourself. You're able to live the life that Christ is expecting out of us. Yes, we sin sometimes and we don't know we are sinning. But as a whole, my whole life is God. He has given me more than I've ever, ever could have asked for. And everything I've ever bowed down on these knees to pray for, he has given it to me. Why? Because he loves me. And that's why I tell all the young people, God loves you. You're never alone. When you know the Lord, when you know his word, when you can go to him without even thinking about it, he's working on your behalf and you're not even thinking of it. I could go on all night talking about how good he is to me, why I study
Amen.
His word, and why I pray. Prayer is the key. Like my mom would say, that's a number you dial and it's never busy.
Mm-hmm.
You can call him anytime, any day. You just have to know it and live it. You have to have a personal relationship with God that no one can take his place. No one. And I preach it to my nieces and nephews. I preach it to my daughter. And she thanks me all the time. Mama, I thank you. I say, I thank my mama. She's gone, but I thank her every day.
Amen.
Anytime you go approach her, Valerie, you need to go somewhere and pray. Talk to the Lord about it. You know what you got to do. Get your life right. And it's so true. It's so true. It's easy. But sometimes it can be so hard. Sometimes you ask yourself, I don't understand it. But it's not for you to always understand, because his way is not our way.
Mm-hmm.
In order to understand God in that manner, you have to know his word and you have to have that personal relationship and love him with all of your heart and your soul. It comes easy for me to talk to the Lord because I make it plain and I make it simple. I don't need no big words. I don't need no some things that I know God is not going to grant. I don't even think about. You know what he's expected out of you and your life and the life you're supposed to be living. And when you do those things and you go to him, I can see it. I don't know about anybody else. But it's his way and not my way. I've learned that. And when he does something, he's going to make sure. He's going to make sure that you know it was he and not you. That's a good feeling. That's a good feeling. I just showed my daughter the other morning. I said, you see this little pad under the bed? I said, this is where mommy kneel and pray. I said, these old knees can't be on them too long, so I have to put a pad under them. And you have to talk to the Lord. You don't have to hoop holler, because he created you. He created you in his image. And that's not me talking. That's his word. My mom, when she slashed you out with his word, and she said, now get out of my face and don't get mad at me. Get mad with the Lord, because that's his word. And when you get my age, you understand why she said it, because it was his word. And as Pastor was teaching, he is the I am.
Right.
He is the I am. Wouldn't have it no other way in my life. He's been too good to me. He's been my everything, and I have no other choice but come here every Thursday night, pray, study his word. Tuesday morning meditation with Jesus. Lord, have mercy. We have a good time in the Lord.
Amen.
We have a good time. Although this virus is going on, he created this whole world, and he shut it down. And he caused all of this to happen to let us know. Pastor, you remember Revelations?
That's right.
He knows what he's doing. Our children, with the first part of this study, so true. Our children don't know nothing about no discrimination like we do. He's preparing them. He is preparing this new generation, because they don't know anything about slavery, hanging, and doing bad things, because their life was, but now they are beginning to see it in a different way, but it's the same thing. It has never left, but God intended to stop this whole world, because he created it. He created every creature on this earth, and he wants everybody to see it and know it, and I think they are beginning to see it. Because our children have been hand-fed a good life. A good life. We had a good life too, but there was so much prejudice there for us to get where we are. Still is. But it's subtle how they do it. I worked in it. I know as when I see it. And every child, every person that I have ever been confronted with, I made it my business to protect them, to give them an opportunity to know the Lord, love the Lord, trust him, and be kind one to another. Be kind one to another. I'm not going to take up all y'all's time, because it's so good to me. I'd be here all night talking about my Father in heaven. But you all study his word. Trust him with all of your heart.
Amen.
And he will give you the desires of your heart. I am a living testimony. A living testimony.
Amen.
Changed my life for nobody. You all have a blessed night and a blessed week, and hold on to his unchanging hand, because he is not going to change for us. We got to change for him. You all be blessed.
Amen.
Bless you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for your comment tonight. Well, Sheila G, it's a good study lesson tonight. A lot of good comments. You have the final comments and close out with prayer, please.
Amen. Speaking of prayer, the one thing that God put on my heart was something that we started as children, and our parents started us, and I pray that we will continue to do that. You may remember the prayer that we had to pray before we went to bed at night.
Mm-hmm.
Now, down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And even as a child, learning that prayer and saying it every night, you just felt that spirit. You didn't necessarily understand it, but you felt the presence of the Lord and you felt his protection. And that just shows us a prayer just like that, as simple as that, if you say it with a sincere heart, God hears our prayer, and we can understand it better by and by as we read his word. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you once again for another lesson. We thank you, Father, for letting us know that not only do you prepare the way and show us the way, but we have to get out of the way so that your will can be done. We thank you for each and every one. I pray that we all have a better prayer life and a better study life. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.